buddy joining you live tonight around the world. Glad to have you in here. Got a great program. Michael, the great prince. Who is he? Well, he's a war angel, according to the Bible, in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7, tells us that he was in the great war. He was actually the commander-in-chief of the great war that happened when the Bible says that Satan stormed heaven with his angels and made an attempt to take over heaven when the Messiah, the great God, Yahweh, who come in a body of flesh, when he came to the world in a body of flesh, Satan knew that his time was short. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, there's none other. I am God, and there is none like me. I declare the end from the beginning, and from ancient time, things that have not yet been done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Tonight, we're going to talk about standing. When you've done all to do, stand. This is a standing only room for those who have a sincere heart, those who have pressed toward the mark and a high calling, because the Bible foretells the signs that would culminate in the last days when the Messiah indicated that these signs would arise, and you know that the time is now, even at the door. And when you see these things begin to happen, you know that his drawing near is even at the door. Now, we have what is known in Daniel, where we're going to take our text tonight, the 12th chapter. We're going to look at this war angel, Michael. He's going to stand up. Stand up before his people. Now, who are they? The house of Israel scattered abroad. The lost sheep. He's going to stand up. And what's going to happen, Pastor Buddy? Well, the Bible says there will be a time of trouble, fourth verse. There will be a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. You know, we've been talking quite a bit about 20 and 12. We've looked at this year called 20 and 12. We've looked at some of the prophetic utterances. We've looked at the times and the indications, and only an angel could stand. Is America in trouble? We've done preach to you. She's a coveted land. Ah, yes. The devil has come in, and he has wore out the saints. I don't know about you, but every day it's a battle. Now, I've noticed in particular, and I've been in this way a long time, but I have noticed things over the period of years. The greatest time that you're going to experience Satan's warfare is in the time of the blood. Now, what do you mean by that, Pastor Buddy? Well, we talked about that these times, they would be perilous. perilous times, especially along about the Passover time, which I believe is an indication that we should keep it, though we have to suffer because the devil is mad at those that love Yahweh. And the Bible said he went out to make war. That's Satan. Now, we've got a counterpart here by another warrior named Michael. Keep him in mind, because there is no power ordained that can keep you focused on this mission other than it would be given to you from above. We got to have help. And I do believe that help is on its way. That great angel. Now, we're in a time of trouble, that's for sure. And as I was saying, Passover time, demons will manifest. They'll get in people. They'll stir people to wrath. If you don't pray and if you don't watch, you just watch the devil. He come to kill. He come to steal. And he come to destroy. The first thing that will destroy your soul is false doctrine. Many false teachers would come bringing in heresy. And they will teach you in a very, very cunning way to reject Yahweh's word. Oh, I don't mean that. We don't have to do that. Oh, just don't pay no attention to that. One of the greatest words in the Bible is blood. If you want to make the devil mad, preach the blood. Plead the blood. Confirm the blood. Talk about the blood. Do it in remembrance of me. That's the time that the devil will become so angry. He knows that the thing that will separate the sheep from the goat is the blood. You are not my sheep, he said. My sheep will hear my voice. You know why? Because they belong to him. Because they're called by his name, number one. Their name's on the Lamb book, number two, from the foundation of the world. Number three, he ain't going to lose none. Michael will have to stand in the last day. Stand up, Michael. Defend the people in the time of trouble such as the world never was. Come on, Michael. We need you now. We begin to beat, argue, reject, murmur, and complain. As these false teachers bring in a heresy, bring in another way. Look at Easter. This is Good Friday. Anybody with a plain third grade education can know that he didn't die on Friday and get up early Sunday morning and be in the grave 3 days and three nights. That's not, you know, we just don't. And nowhere in the Bible does it say for us to keep Easter. Nowhere in the Bible does it say for us. These are the false prophets now, and many people are misrepresenting the word, but they're beautiful preachers. Oh, they speak well. They play well on an instrument. They're good looking. Does it take more? Even the Messiah himself wasn't to be disarmed. He wasn't a hulk. He wasn't a whole lot of shaking going on Elvis Presley interpretator or impersonator. The Messiah was a common, down-to-earth reasonable every day, steady as she goes, always preaching the blood. And the devil hated him with passion. Look at all these denominational systems. The Worldwide Church of God. What church? What God? The Jehovah's Witnesses. The Joseph Smith Mormonism. The Southern Baptist. The Roman Catholic. These hustlers of God, representing these denominations, speak well, sing well, put on a good show. But the Bible says that the real truth by those that will stand, those that will take the heat, those that will be persecuted, those that will be talked about, those that will be looked upon as a cult. Well, that's one of the favorite things that the devil uses. Oh, they're just a small ragtag cult. Who's going to pay any attention to them? Look at our church. Do you know that the Bible has been translated into over 2,500 languages, covering 95% of the world's population? And yet, the end hasn't come. You know why? Because it's not the truth. Because Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. We've had wars. We've had rumors of wars. We've got the lying foundations of a government who are anti-Christ. They don't want you to believe the truth. The truth is something that will change your vision of the world. And the world is due to see these things unfold. And the invention of television and the deployment of global satellites in this last century allow the news to travel at the speed of light. And remember, all of it is bad. And they've designed it that way. They don't want you to hear the good news, to go about singing and praising, listening to scriptures or listening to the truth. They love a lie. But those who love the truth will drive many miles to hear it. They will suffer many days to endure the few days of truth that they get to hear by hearing the message on the blood. Passover's coming up. Yeah, Passover. It's a time that the entire world pauses and they go back to their doctrines, depending on what church you're out of. Easter is the number one deception of revealing the blood. It doesn't reveal the blood of the Lamb, the type. It reveals the blood of the pig, the opposite. It's not the good lamb, it's the good ham that they bake in their ovens. It's not breaking the bread in remembrance of the Messiah, Yahweh in a flesh body. It's remembering Talmuz as they bake the cross buns to the Queen of Heaven, his mother, Samaria. And she's now being adored, Ishtar. The Bible speaks of it in the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. They called it Easter, which was a substitute word put in purposely of these imposters, these false prophets, as they try to get you to turn from the faith. But did you know that the truth will prevail if you hear it? The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. Nothing in the world's free. Even if you serve the devil, it costs, and people are willing to pay. You serve Yahweh and seek the truth, and you will be considered a occultist. Well, that little old group down there don't mean nothing to me, glory to God. But let me tell you something. That little group of people that are keeping the faith, that are standing true in the Word, have brought down kingdoms in the past. And you can bank on this prophecy. To have Michael to stand up for his people that day, and that call will be made this Passover here on the altar at the King's Gate. We will call to heaven as a witness that Michael will stand up, for we believe that we're nearing the time of the great time of Jacob's trouble. And you say, well, why would you say that, Pastor Buddy? We got nuclear weapons. We got wars. We got rumors of wars. All under the guise of trying to protect the people or protect freedom. Where is freedom? What nation has freedom to worship Yahweh? I don't know of a nation in the world. If you worship Yahweh, you've got to do it underground. You see, if you don't make a big disturbance, you know, where they can come in like I did Waco. Waco asked for what they got. The government was willing to oblige and make an example that no cult, that's what they call them, would be able, women and children included, would be able to stand up against the government. And they went in and they killed them. It was very plain that they, the one that initiated, and killed every one of them but two. Well, we haven't had much cult trouble since then, have we? Would you want to be separate? Never was meant to be that way. The people of Yahweh are, like the Bible said, they are harmless as doves. When we meet at the King's Gate, it's not with the idea that we're going to overthrow the government. We know who's going to overthrow the government. We already know that. All the governments of Babylon, every one of them, none escaping. When Micah, that great prince, stands up for his people, then in that day, one can chase a thousand. And I'm not predicting a war between light and darkness. But what is it if the fire's already kindled and all it needs is a match, and the match is that great general, Michael, the prince, who stands for his people. Now we're going to have a counter. We're going to have the Antichrist, who is going to be promoted as Christ. He's going to sit in the temple that they build, and he's going to pretend that he is Christ, and these fancy-dan preachers, Satan's children, these good people, these transformed into ministers of righteousness will deceive many and lead many into the very clutches of Satan and that Antichrist will deceive the very elect. Everybody's got their mind on Israel. We're not talking about the ethnos. We're talking about a government. Israel, the government. Is she any better than the governments of the other world? Does she do anything different? No, she don't. She's armed herself. She stole all of the nuclear secrets of America. They had those trials back in the 50s when they had their people over here stealing so that they could become a mighty nation and so that they could strike with a deadly force, expand their kingdom, and launch out to bring about people who would sing her praises and say it's God supporting Israel. We had the Six-Day War, and, you know, if you've ever watched any of the videos, it said, oh, God was on our side. Look what he done for us. God was really on our side. Glory to God. And if you don't know the scriptures, if you're so easily to be deceived, you're going to be deceived. What we got going on in this chaotic world with the weather that's prevalent? In Luke 21, I've taught on this many times before, verse 25, the Messiah, Yahweh in a flesh body, he saw the seas and the waves roaring in the last days. He likened these signs to birth pains that he quoted in Matthew 24, verse 8. The Greek word, Odin, often translated as sorrows in Matthew 24 and 8. It literally means birth pains. Paul spoke under the same anointing and told us that the creation itself will be delivered from the curse at the end of the age, that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains, as he mentioned in Romans 8:22. And as this delivery draws near, and the birth pains that increase in intensity and frequency, therefore the creation itself will be like a pregnant woman. She'll travail as the time of delivery draws near. And these chaotic signs, the weather patterns, the waves of the sea roaring, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, these are the times when all men will begin to mourn. And then will they see the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. Since 2007, we've had extreme weather. In Australia, we've had monster hail. We've had wild weather that forces our farmers away from the fields to grow food. A famine is in line. We just had hurricane after hurricane, disaster after disaster. What did we do? Well, we managed the Federal Emergency Management Association. We got them together to save New Orleans. Folks, the damage was done. The people were dead. The people were hungry before FEMA ever rounded up the FEMA trailers and parked them down there. And by the time they got them, I mean, the people were dead or gone. They were FEMA. It's a joke. Climate change is a reality. Cyclones sweeping across the Pacific. Hurricanes across the Atlantic. Nation after nation. The worst drought on record. The most unpredictable weather. Floods that leave hundreds of millions of people homeless. The hurricanes this season are predicted to double. Global government. In a time of Michael standing up, are we nearing that day? Do you know what's on books passed to lock down the governments of the world, not only the United States? They're going to have to be in control. Somebody's got to control this chaotic mess that's coming. Who made this mess? Man. Who will pay for this mess? Man. If my people, which are called by my name, will not repent, will not pray, will not humble themselves, then the curses of the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, written there, will come upon the people. But if my people, which will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, do you trust the United States? The United States government has been good to me. I mean, they send me a check every month. But that's the way the system is. You're to accept that Babylon demands, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. So when you do that, you're in line with Yahweh. Even Daniel, that wrote this prophecy that I'm reading about tonight, in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, talking about the time when Michael, folks, this Michael is a spirit. This Michael is a power. Call it political, call it religious, or whatever you want to call it, but it's an awakening. It's bound to happen now. It's bound to come because Michael will stand up for the people. We're going to have help. Literal Babylon, called Babel in Genesis 10 and 10. We still got Babylon ruling. Everybody thinks America is Babylon. And she could be because she's been taken over by a force which had come in unaware, and we give way by being deceived. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. We don't know. We can't see. We can't understand. Here we are. As it was in the days of Noah, does that mean anything? As it was in the days of Noah, just drive down the road. You can't even stop at a rest stop without being accosted. Propositioned. You ain't safe anywhere. Everywhere you go, there's danger. What's wrong? Sin. Sin is a rebuke to the nation. Ethnic conflicts. Well, they'll use that word when it's called ethnic cleansing. Michael is coming to prevent an ethnic cleansing. Satan is going to wear out the saints. Read it right there in the book of Daniel, chapter 12. The Bible literally says it. He's going to wear out the saints. What are you expecting? A bed of roses? The earth's going to be filled with violence, according to Luke 17:26. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 11 through 13, violence increased to that point where it repented Yahweh that he even made man. Now that he's made a few of his people, the sheep, who will hear his voice, who will not follow a stranger, who is sent out as sheep in a world of danger, in a violent world. Behold, I send you forth as sheep. What he sent us before among the goats, the deceivers. Many will follow their false doctrine ways. How many preach the name of Yahweh as a strong tower, that the righteous run into it and are saved? How many preachers preach the great, magnificent, magnanimous name of Yahweh and declare his blood, his literal blood, his genetics, his DNA, is proof, the type? That's why they hate the blood. When it's properly preached, it's a DNA witness against those who do not contain the DNA of the righteous blood of Yahweh, who died for us and gave his own blood. You say, well, I'm covered by that blood. If you ain't got that type of blood in you that was in Christ, you're none of his. Abortion has become legal in the United States. The violent murder of the unborn, illegal in most countries, in just a few short years, today it's legal, with 50 million children killed out of the womb of these pregnant women. I mean, the pain of childbirth, you can't take that lightly, ladies and gentlemen, when the pains of delivery, and the earth is going through this. And when he spoke of the fearful sights in Luke 21, verse 11, that Greek word translated, fearful, is phobitron, which can also be translated as terror. We've had over 20,000 terror international incidents since 2004. 20,000. The one we had in New York, the most noted, 9/11, which killed over 3,000 people. And we thought it was those terrible Arabs. We still do. We'd have a reason for going over there. We need the oil. We need a patriotic population deceived by the deception of a government that would use them to stir up the multitudes that would travel to and fro, according to Daniel 12. Here we've got people running to and fro, seeking rest, and finding in the fast lane, where the world's most traveled generation, knowledge has increased. We're witnessing an explosion of knowledge, most of it evil. The advent of the internet, television, instant news, it's estimated that our knowledge is doubling every 5 years. Almost unreal. It's almost to the point that it seems like this was planned before the world was, because there's nothing new under the sun. Now, what about deadly diseases? The Bible calls that the pestilence. We have diseases such as AIDS, Ebola, the West Nile virus, the bird flu, the monkey flu, the pig flu, whatever you want to call it. We've got these deadly diseases raging across the earth. We have this man-eating bacteria with the antibiotics completely unable to check it. We took a product in Walmart, and the RFID scans it, follows us wherever we go. We are taking these things today with a global economic system that will keep track of you and what you use and buy. John's day when he wrote about this technology for a global monetary system which would rise up out of the earth and be known as the beast. These international bankers of commerce, which would be stealing your assets, famines that would be common, according to Luke 21 and Revelations chapter 6, verse 5. According to the United Nations report, an estimated 852 million people goes hungry to bed every night. Famine. All over the earth. Right here in America. World hunger. With the situation worsening every year until here we've got those who control the seeds that were made and designed by Yahweh to be altered, to tampered with, so that these profit-minded chemical seed companies could GMO the seed, make it to where it would only produce for you one time, and you'd have to come back and buy more seed. It's already happening, ladies and gentlemen. Around the earth tonight, we have a need for Michael to stand up. We have a need to get down on our knees and ask Yahweh to send Michael. Now, not Michael for that little sandbox place over there. I'm talking about Michael sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's the commitment that Yahweh made to us and the time of the Gentiles to be allotted in between the scattering of Israel abroad and the gathering of Israel that is scattered abroad, that Michael would gather the people of Israel, the lost sheep. And he would stand up And there will be a time of trouble such as the world has never seen. Is it time to stand and preach the blood? Like I say, I've gone through this season of Passover for over 20 years. Each year, it seems like the devil comes up with something new to harass, to torment, to try to tear down those that would keep his festival of Passover. Do this in remembrance of me. We've got these little weak, mealy-mouthed, two-shot sounds. You know, they can quote two scriptures and get all tangled up and fall on their face. They don't know anything about the plan of Yahweh. They're baking hot buns and teaching the people that it's the blood that they're drinking. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not the blood you're drinking, it's the blood that you were born with in your veins. You are a royal blood people. That blood has to be in you. And if Christ in you is the hope of glory, the essence of Christ in you is his genetic blood flowing through you, a chosen seed. With the promise that his sheep will hear his voice. The reason that I keep the Passover, it's not because I have to. It's because I want to. I know it's a sad time. I know it's a solemn assembly. These people give up their vacations. They take time off. They borrow money to get here. And everybody takes that lightly. I don't take that lightly. I know it's a sacrifice. I know that Yahweh says, go and I'll go with you. Those that say they will go and lie and don't go, always make an excuse, well, I can't go for this reason, I can't go for that reason. All that is, those are unjustified reasons. One said, well, I've married my wife, you got a wife that don't believe in Passover, get rid of her as soon as possible. ASAP. Move her out of your life. Forget her. Don't weep for her. It's like weeping for the wicked, calling evil good. I'm telling you, it's time to get about our Father's business. Might be the last Passover, but it might be the last time that we gather to lift the cup. It's only symbolic. They can try to make more out of that than they should. It's just a symbolic. We come together and we eat meals. We gather and we say grace. What do we say grace for? Because in the Bible, we never find anywhere that the Messiah sat and broke bread that he didn't thank the Father from above. Well, should we quit that because that's what he done? No, we should carry on the tradition of the elders. Do this in remembrance of me, he said. And I guarantee you, a lot of people don't have the experience to find their way through the maze of Scripture. It's a tangled, weaved, or woven mess of confusion for people to try to find their way to the right Passover, let alone the Passover. We challenge anybody under the sound of our voice to prove that the Messiah died in the first Passover. He did not. We keep the second Passover in remembrance. And we can prove it, but a very few people will hear it. You keep an Easter Passover with a ham in the oven, and everybody will beat a path to your door. That's okay. That's the way it was when the world who knew him not, proclaiming him and the Messiah, said, I never knew him. Just because they claim, they say, well, these Easter eggs, we know it's not Bible, but we do it for the children. It gives them something to do. They know why they do it. Because it's a tradition of sexual orientation that is preached every Easter and to multiply as the bunny, a sexual thing or a resurrection thing of Talmud. It's a fact. People don't want facts. They want a lie. They want something glorified. They don't want a hard preacher. They don't want a hard saying and who can hear it. They want to turn their ears from the truth and they'll be turned into fables. I've told people this could very well be the last Passover coming up on May the 15th. It may be the last time that you put your feet in an humble expression of your love for your brothers and sisters as they wash your feet, and you wash theirs. And then, the next day, you watch as the people gather around and they kill him in the presence of all the congregation. The one that's been kept up for 4 days so that you could get acquainted with it. So that you'd feel sorry for it. This is all symbolic, but it has indeed an enlightening metaphor or an analogy that would teach you the path to the second Passover. I found this path to the second Passover through keeping the first one. It was Yahweh. I was sitting there studying, praying. I knew that I was doing the right thing by keeping the Passover. I just didn't know that he didn't die in the first one. And when I saw the amazing truth and the information that was opened to me at that Passover, I think it was the third Passover that I ever kept. Kept the first three, and since then I've kept the second Passover. And like I say, the devil gets mad because it's a message of blood. The whole world claims his blood. They claimed Talmud's blood. He killed a pig, and people kill pigs in remembrance of Talmud. They bake the hot buns for Ishtar, the goddess of heaven. You know where that doctrine's going to? I'm telling you, folks, the truth is hard. The truth is forever settled in the land of truth. And here we are in this land. It could be our last Passover. The government knows something's going on. What do you think about all this debt they've run up all of a sudden? They're not worried about it. Are the senators and the congressmen, are they in on something that's going to come down? Have they got them a whole dug and promised to be delivered to safety? Do they care about you? No, they do not. Does Yahweh care about what you believe? Yes, he does. He's going to send Micah, the angel, to stand for his people. I pray that Yahweh come to the king's gate. We're going to invite him. Not only visit the king's gate, but everywhere that there is a circle where people call upon him, where the house of Israel and the lost sheep, wherever they congregate, may Yahweh observe this Passover, the second Passover, where he was killed in the second Passover. And here we are, thousands of years later, with the revelation of the teaching and the preaching, cannot be denied, challenge anybody in the continental United States, or the world for that matter, to prove that the Messiah died in the first Passover. No scriptures anywhere. And that's an outright challenge to you who are deceived, who are going to keep Easter and eat a ham Sunday, which you call Easter, no Bible, tradition, going back to Talmud, Nimrod, and the mythical gods, turn their face from the truth, and they're going to be turned into fables. They're already fables. Aren't you glad that you have got out of this Easter pagan bondage? Aren't you happy? You should come happy to the festival. You should come rejoicing that you're found worthy to raise a cup and say, Father, this is just to remember you. I don't do it for any other reason. This is the only reason that I do it. You told me to do it in remembrance of you till you come, and to keep it as a perpetual statue.
Man, I don't think I can make it this time. I think I...
The cares of the world. You're more interested in laying up your treasures where these lying international bankers have gathered their treasures for the last days. We're going to send Michael. We're going to call him out of the heavens. It's time that he stood up for his people. There's going to be a time of trouble. You better get ready. It's coming. You can laugh now, but you haven't made an effort for a few people care.
Well, as long as the sun comes up, I'll be all right.
Maybe a day that you can't see the sun. You may pray to see it. And maybe a day when you can't turn on your electric lights and light up your world. Or you can't turn your favorite soap opera on and watch as the world turns. You're going to get a ringside seat. The sun ain't going to shine. The moon ain't going to shine, give her light. It's going to be a time of darkness, a time of trouble. All about the blood. Here we are. We're 1 year away from 2012, and a lot of things have been prophesied to happen in 2012. Most of it's probably a lie. Thought up by a system that's trying to take complete control, only they need a reason to declare martial law. They only need a reason to take away your Second Amendment rights. Say, well, I've got guns. People in 1933 had gold, but they turned it in when the president, with a stroke of his pen, told him to. People won't gather food up today because the government said, no, you're not going to do that. They're doing it, but they don't want you to do it. They don't want you to be ready, but they're ready. They want the time to come upon you unaware, with them aware that things are coming and that we do have some problems coming from space, a great signs in the heavens. People are going to be fearful. And when you see everybody looking up, say, what in the world is that? Is that another planet? Is that another star? You could have that coming up on you very soon. Why don't you gather with us down here in Sweetwater, Tennessee at the King's Gate Next month, we'll be here washing feet. Pray that you don't get caught eating and drinking with a drunken. What if he comes Sunday, and you with a ham in the oven, and you hiding Easter eggs, and counting your prize egg, teaching your children and learning the ways of the heathen. Learn not the ways of the heathen. Jeremiah chapter 10. We don't teach the ways of the heathen. We teach the biblical ways. You can teach that and fix it. Oh, I don't believe that. That's under the law. We don't have to do that anymore. Glory to God. I ain't making no effort. Now, I'll go over here to where I've gone for years. We're going to have Easter over there. And yeah, I'm looking forward to going down the basement. And boy, that ham does smell good. Them biscuits. Ham biscuits. On Easter, the sunrise. That's the reward. Eat ham. Learn the ways of the heathen. And expect no reward. You're going to get one. It's coming. Yeah, it's coming. There's going to be somebody stand up for the truth. And it's stand-up time. I got to get out of here. My time's coming gone. And I appreciate being in your home, wherever I'm coming in tonight. May Yahweh bless you. Remember our festival coming up. That'll be May the 15th. Foot washing. Starting off our 7 days of celebration of the remembrance of the King. Kingsgate, Sweetwater, Tennessee. You can call me tonight, area code 423-351-1082. Or you can write me at Post Office Box 568. And we're going to start giving you the names of the hotels and the places to stay. Probably tomorrow night we'll start giving you those numbers that you could call, make it easy for you. If you need any help, just call Pastor Buddy here. Write me. Thank Yahweh for all those who have helped us on the assembly. Very few, but just enough to keep us going. Praise Yahweh. We're making it, and I'm thankful for that. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568. Sweetwater, Tennessee, the zip 37874. Go to our website tonight. We've got a great website. We've got a large website. Over 6,000 hits in less than 2 months of people that wanted to go and find the truth. We have an article up on the website, the second Passover. And the truth of why we keep it. We'd like to be able to teach you. If you'll open your heart, turn from your ways, learn not the ways of the heathen. You say, well, I'll still keep the first Passover. That's the one he died in. Well, if we can prove he didn't die in the first Passover, why would you still want to keep it? Well, that's the way I believe it. Okay. Have it your way. You're Burger King. But soon you're going to be at the throne, and you're going to give an account for everything that comes before you. I'll see you tomorrow night on the early show. That's Pastor Buddy. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Paul, 1-800-253-2748, Brother Bud, and Brother Edward down in the great state of Mississippi. I'll see you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. Where I'm sponsored with Brother Mark, and we'll see you then. Yahweh bless you.